Welcome to Beyond the Bombshell, the podcast that dives deep into the heart and soul of real life. I'm your host, Michelle Stokes, and I'm here to guide you through this empowering journey. We'll talk about real life and what it truly takes to be a strong, confident, and fulfilled woman. Join us as we rewrite the rules and celebrate the extraordinary and fierce women we all are. We'll share insights, build a space for uncomfortable conversations, and truly just embrace real life. Let's go beyond the surface and find your real life bombshell. Okay, so welcome, Josh. Say hello.
Hi, I got invited back for video this time.
So if the video wasn't here, I would be in my pajamas. You'd probably be in your shorts and we'd just be on the couch. So the only thing that's different is we're dressed because we are on social media.
Yep.
And I don't think anything else changes. We probably would have a coffee, but I didn't want any slurping. I didn't want any slurping in this video.
We have coffee because our machine is broke.
And so we're going to jump into finances. So we go to Walmart a couple of days ago. This is a prime example of being in a relationship and you need something versus want something. I smashed by accident our coffee pot. I was under the impression that we were going to Walmart to get a brand new coffee machine. Scarlett as well. Like, we could not wait to get the new, prettier coffee machine for the countertop. And when we got there, what happened?
We did not buy a new machine because there's nothing wrong with our machine. So we said, we're going to buy a new coffee pot on Amazon.
A new what?
Coffee pot. Well, what coffee carafe, I call it. I don't know if that's exactly how you say it. But.
So that was a prime example of us being in two different worlds of like finances. You're super frugal right now. And I'm like, yeah, well, we just need one. We can get one for like $100. And you're like, no, we can get one for $30 instead of $100. Yeah. Just wait and not have coffee for 3 days.
Yeah. We just went to McDonald's and bought a bunch of large coffee that are in the fridge.
And they're cold and we just reordered them.
Yeah.
So that's a prime example of, I think, us being just sharing some like real life examples and experiences as people are doing these things, just going to spend an extra $100 without stopping and thinking.
Yeah, the biggest thing is just the principles applicable to everything.
We didn't make a bad decision, made a good decision, and we just have cold McDonald's coffee that we're going to drink this week until Wednesday.
It took a few mistakes to get it right.
And I think that's why we're back today.
To learn.
Because we jumped into the finance stuff. We talked about, I think we were like teaching things without sharing why we want to teach it. Like, we want to like practice what we preach, and we haven't come until, like, people might look at us from the outside and be like, oh yeah, they get it all figured out financially, but they don't know the mistakes and the things that we have done throughout the years that we are happily embarrassed sometimes maybe to share, so people know that like, oh, that sounds like me, or maybe I don't want to do that because I listen to this thing. So I think it's just trying to be we're not credible to talk about finances. We don't have the education or training to be like financial advisors, but I think we're credible to talk about our shared experience to try and help people to not make the same decisions that we did. Or if they have made the same decisions as us, to be comfortable and okay to talk about it, laugh about it, cry about it, or whatever it is, and then just move on and try to be better.
It's called street credit.
So yeah, this is our street credit. This is our street credit episode. Okay. So my thought process is we're going to go back in time.
How far?
We'll see how far. And talk about like money, and as we kind of go, we'll go to the milestone of where we met and stuff like that, but like talk about like some money milestones, mostly bad, I have written down here. Like, not bad, but just not the best decision that we realize after. In a moment, we might have thought, in a moment, we might have thought they were good decisions, but they end up not being. We learn from them. So the first thing I have wrote down here is, let's talk about money and how, what was, like, if you think about growing up, like, you know, before university years, before high school, even high school is included, but like, how was money in your household? Like, was it talked about? Was it not talked about? Was it bad? Was it good? Like, what was it?
As far as I can remember, I don't know how far back my memory actually goes, but I don't really ever remember talking about it. It was just something that was like taboo. I don't know if it was bad to not talk about it, or people didn't know, had knowledge to talk about it, or if it was like just a pride thing that you don't talk about your finances. I don't really have that answer, but I don't recall there ever being any. Like, not even like a little bit. Like, I don't recall any. Mm-hmm. Do you?
No, I remember. I don't remember. I think it goes, like, money wasn't talked about in our family either, because there was a point in time where we didn't really have any money. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't talk about that. But then there was a time where, like, mom and dad got back on track and had money, but we couldn't talk about that either, because it felt like then we were, like, bragging because we had money. So I felt like money wasn't talked about. My dad and family grew up like welfare. So there was always, for him, I think it was always like a lack. You can't spend it. You don't need to spend it. Very frugal. Like, there's no need. which may pay off, I don't know, in the end. Like, I think financially they're okay now. But, like, growing up, it was, like, we didn't have the Skidoos. We didn't have the quads. We didn't have all these, like, things that other families had. And at one point, mom and dad definitely couldn't buy it. But at some point, they could. But they're still, they're too frugal to, like, to waste that.
Yeah. Waste. I think it's, like, if you don't, it goes back to, like, the coffee machine. Like, if you don't need it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
So definitely part of that. Yeah. So first things first, disclaimer of, like, we're not slandering our family.
No, but that's just we didn't talk about money.
But we didn't grow up with money here, as far as I know. Like, if we did, I never ever knew it. But we grew up with my grandparents in a smaller house. We had one vehicle. We didn't have the ATVs. We didn't do big elaborate trips or anything like that. So very similar. So yeah, definitely we can't. Neither one of us can say that we had a head start.
No, and not that our parents didn't, like, at that, like, I feel like different generations, like school didn't teach us. Not our parents.
Still don't.
You know what I mean? And school still don't. I had this big conversation with someone on social media. I don't think I told you this, that he has, like, an actual curriculum and outline. He proposed to the government and went there, and, like, they just shut it down of, like, teaching people, like, finances. So it's not even just our family, because, you know, they might not have known and didn't want to, like, worry us or bother us or try to, like, make money a priority, because, like, sometimes money just, you know, causes stress. So, like, but, like, schools aren't doing it either. So we're like most people that grew up that, you know, we didn't have savvy, you know, in, I don't know, my dad did invest, but later in life, but, like, we didn't have, like, business owners or whatever who would, like, around the dining room table or kitchen table, they were talking about money.
Yeah,
it was definitely. Like, my mom and dad definitely 100% talked about money after hours and the kids were not there, whether it was good or bad.
Well, even back then too, like, I don't think financing was a big thing back then. Like, most of them didn't have mortgages. Like, you just built your house as there was money for material.
I said to mom yesterday for her wedding anniversary that she still has the same covers that she built when they built the house 36 years ago or 35 years ago. And they had a porta potty at that point. Didn't have a real toilet until, like, later. Like, that, you're right. There was no financing.
People, so there was no mortgages. There was vehicle financing was probably a thing. But from what I, from stories I heard, I don't think anybody did it.
No. And, like, my parents had their first car when, like, me and my brother were, like, pretty old. Right? So it's just different. Okay, so both grew up, probably, like, many can relate to, like, finances. It was either, it wasn't talked about because we didn't have any, or it wasn't talked about because we did have any, and no one needed to know that we had money. No one needed to know that we had money or didn't have money.
It was just taboo. It was just...
Yeah, just didn't talk about it. Okay, so teen years, university years, I want you to talk about.
What about it?
What happened in university for you?
Again, still had no grasp on it.
But both our parents...
No conversations.
Both us, our parents knew. Did do some kind of investing at some point or something.
Yeah, they've tucked away money. I don't know if it was, like, legitimate, like, education funds or what it was, but there was definitely money tucked away.
That neither one of us had to have student loans, which is
neither one of us had student
huge
loans.
Help starting our, like, adult life.
In my last year, I took on a student loan of credit just so I didn't have to live off them. The bank of earning the net. But I will say too that both of us, the one thing I thought about it was that both of us had jobs while we were in school.
University,
yeah. Which I know a lot of people didn't. Not to, you know, downgrade anybody for not, but we did have the sense to have jobs.
Yeah, so I worked as PCA. And you were.
I worked in a restaurant in the back, cutting up food and washing dishes.
Still didn't matter. I still had a mentality that, like, I didn't want to ask my parents for money because my parents gave me money at the beginning of the semester and I never wanted that money to run out. So I always had a little pocket. But equally, on every Friday night, I had a new shirt to go downtown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, that still happened.
Yeah.
But I would have not eat for a full week before I asked mom and dad for more money.
Yeah. I was probably opposite. I just thought money grew on trees. I remember, like, being downtown and getting like, I'm out of money. So I got to call mom. I'm like, mom, I'm downtown. I need some money. And it's like, shameful thing about it now. But that happened.
Happen. Okay.
Yeah, and that will not happen with our children. I don't care.
Ben calls you now, Dad, can I have a game? What do you do? Drop it and give it to him.
Yeah, I agree, so but he's not 20 years old.
That is the exact same thing, just on a smaller scale, but setting him up to be like, hey, Dad, I want this, can I get it? Yeah, it's only $6, and yes, it is the same thing. You're downtown, Mom, and he's $20 to get home for a cab. Same thing.
Sorry, Ben, buddy, no more games, I guess.
We just got to make a bit more structured. Okay, there's another. We're going to learn new lessons as we're going through this.
Yeah.
Okay, so next milestone we're going to talk about is we both finished. You did engineering at Kona, and I did nursing. And we both finish, and what do we both do?
Stupidly bought new vehicles, like, right at the gate. I think at least you had a paycheck. I had a paycheck.
I had a paycheck. I bought a brand new blue Honda Accord. Could not wait. I remember, like, test driving a Nissan. What was it? Altima. Was it? No, it was like... Anyway, it doesn't matter what it was, but... Had a Civic out. No, couldn't have the Civic. Had to have the Accord. Okay.
You want the most wild thing that also just dawned on me? Mom and Dad bought that off us, and they still use that car. They do.
That was back in 2010.
So we could have had no vehicle payment for nice.
If we kept that Accord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I bought the Accord. Mom and Dad owned the house that we lived in, so technically I didn't pay rent.
We had a good setup because you had a house, I had a car. I had a car in school.
Yeah, I had a house. My parents bought a house. Josh's parents bought him a car. So we had a good setup that we didn't have to pay rent and didn't have to pay for a vehicle. You said pay for gas, I guess.
Gas insurance.
So that was good. That was a good help. But I remember having the Accord, getting my paycheck, and I would sit down in the living room, the pink carpet, in front of the TV, probably folding clothes, and I have little post-its on the coffee table. And I would have the list of everything you need to be paid for, like the car, if I had to pay for heat and light or the internet and groceries and all these things. At the bottom, I would always be like, what's left over? Now I can go to the store and buy a new shirt or something like that. I remember it was like...
No spreadsheets
or whatever, just the post-its. But I remember that initially I was like, I'm going to have so much money, blah, blah, blah. And each time I get a new post, I'm like, I have zero money. I have none.
Yeah. It would have been nice for us to do that before we bought the car.
Yeah.
And a truck for that matter.
So one thing that's going to come up is like all these milestones, all these big things, big events. No one stopped. Our parents probably tried.
Your dad did, definitely.
Dad definitely tried to stop me and say.
I remember one day he was all choked up. You were crying. Dad told you not to buy the car. He said, I'm buying it anyways. And
so just he tried. Just to prove someone wrong.
Yeah, he tried.
Just to prove someone wrong. So yeah, maybe I have wrote down here that no one stopped and made us do this thing, but our parents definitely probably stopped and made us try to do it, and we just didn't. But none of the professionals, there was no professionals in our life. Like, you know, we went back to car, when we went, we'll talk about our first house and stuff like that. Like, no one stopped and said, okay, are you comfortable buying this? Comfortable as in, like, yes, I can approve you for the loan, but comfortable, like, have you thought about how many times you want to go shopping? How many times you want to get your hair done? How many trips you want to go on? Like, no one stopped and did that. Our parents probably did, but at that point, we were young and didn't give a shit, and they were the people we were looking up to.
That's true, yeah. And I think, like, when you're there at that point, that age, you can't see past tomorrow. Yeah. You're still in that invincible stage where there's always going to be employment. Money is endless. Nothing ever bad is ever going to happen. Like, you're literally oblivious to life. You've never even lived life at that point.
Yeah. That's a good point. Okay, so then you finish. We move to Alberta. Do the big thing. Then what did
never
you
even had a day punch at work and bought a brand new truck. So a brand new truck. Not even like it was secondhand. And don't even know if I really needed a truck.
But I left my car at home and your parents bought it off.
You did, yeah.
They took over my lease. So we had that vehicle gone.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody else had trucks. So I was like, I guess I need a truck. And I don't know if I only learned how to back up a trailer like last year. So I never towed anything.
And then we bought a second car in Alberta. I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. But like, we bought a Civic. Why?
We did. Because...
Like, you had a work truck.
I did. I think we kind of started didn't want to rely on the work truck because there was limitations with it. You couldn't really go. It was, like, all right to get groceries, but, like, on our net, it was, like.
So we bought a Civic. We bought a Civic for me to go back and forth work, really. Yeah.
But even then, it was, like, so the first truck was never even had an hour punched, had that. And then it was, didn't really need it. Then it was, like, we needed a vehicle. We didn't need that vehicle. And then equally, it was like, okay, well, where are we going to be? What points in our life in the next how many years? So then it was like, how long is this truck even going to be suitable?
Because putting a car seat in the back sucked.
Putting a car seat in the back was horrible. Tell me about a new truck, got a bigger truck. And these days now, like, the big issue is that with financing options, you can finance them so long, but then the problem is that they depreciate faster you pay them down. So you never get hit.
So the vehicle
is like a big, deep rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole, yeah. Because we had the smaller truck. It's still big, but too small for like family. And then we upsized. Like that, whatever was left over on this vehicle just went onto this vehicle. And it's just like a domino effect of people keep getting vehicles.
Yeah.
And
it's like, oh, 3 years there. It's like, oh, I'll get a new one. It's like, oh, I'll break even or I'll roll it over. And then all of a sudden it just snowballs.
We still pay for two vehicles and it sucks, but we have to like figure out how.
Well, we had one paid off.
We had one paid off.
Came home here. We had one paid off. And it was a great car and it was paid off and it was efficient. There was no issues. And then we bought a truck that was not efficient and had issues and
garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one car payment right now would be great. Okay. So also when we're in Alberta, we bought our first home. So like first home was a big milestone, like a huge, I think, financial goal for a lot of people. Do you think at that point in our life, like, you think that was a smart decision?
Well, now
we didn't talk about this.
Now as a real estate agent, like, you can't go wrong buying real estate.
Yeah, I think it was a good decision. We were paying rent.
It was risky.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, we went there with a 3-year plan. Like, we put all our goose eggs, all our nest eggs into that house, and like upgraded it and put extra money down on the mortgage, like extra payments, and that to make sure, because we it was really good at the time, and then it went to an even better place. It's easy to say now that it was good. Like in the moment, like. Just as volatile as anything. Like, housing that follows oil and gas, super volatile.
Yeah. So it worked out for us. It was smart because we bought it at, a really, I think, a fair price. Mm. And then when we sold it 3 years later, the market was, like, skyrocketing.
Yeah, we didn't do anything crazy. Like, both of us had good jobs. Like, I think that was one of our better financial choices. Like, we both had good jobs. And we managed to get a brand new house detached with a garage for $300,000.
But if we were here talking now today and when we sold it and we lost money, we would talk about it as it wasn't the best decision. Do you know what I mean? Like, we would look at it
equally way. If in the moment when we moved home, if it was not where we wanted it or needed to be, maybe we probably wouldn't have came.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have sold it or wouldn't have came.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to come home earlier. And I was like, we are not going to make enough money off our house yet. So you can dry up your tears and you can go back to work.
I feel like all this is going to come back on me and your divorce.
No, that's not true. There's times where I wish you'd listen to me, but I equally made.
Okay, so anything else? Okay, so now, we did the Alberta thing. One thing when we were in Alberta too, we didn't have kids till later. So we had 2 years in Alberta where we didn't have kids. Mm. So both of us making like really good money, had friends who were like really established, a good or bad influence, I think, because they were ahead in life than us, like a lot older than us. So it felt
we
like
we grew up pretty quick.
We did grow up really quick there. But like before the kids and before deciding to have kids, like you're working like week on and week off or gone out in a patch all the time. Mm. And when you're gone to patch, what did Michelle do? She was like, I'm going to Winners. I got my coffee. I got my hair, got my nails. It was like pure luxury. We didn't really have any set. I'm sure we budget. I will come home and then have like buyer's remorse or like buyer's guilt that I bought this stuff. And I'll be like, can I go return it? And then you equally would be like, why did you buy this? Our house is always like perfectly so clean, so decorated, so nice though.
Kids.
But still, like it was just like buy whatever you want, whenever you want. Yeah. What did you say when you were talking to Secreti a couple days ago?
Earn it and burn it.
Earn it and burn it was the mentality.
Yeah, we definitely could. We came out good when we left, but we definitely could have come out better. No doubt.
Yeah. So we sold our house. We made a really good chunk of change off it that financially set us up for the big move home. We had kids. I didn't want to be in Alberta no more. So we moved home. You were going to do turnaround. And
so luckily what happened with the housing market was that we made extra payments. So that went straight to our principal, not interest. And then on the flip side, the market went up. So like we got gains on both sides.
Yeah. So we did. We financially, that set us up. So it set us up to have a really good start here in Newfoundland. But two things happened when we first moved home in Newfoundland. First was decision of what house we bought here. You can talk about this a little bit.
So we didn't buy the house that I wanted. Really, we came home and knew that everything was volatile. And it was like, you know, things might be good for now. We're leaving a lot of opportunity. Oil and gas was really volatile. So there was a very high chance that things were going to go south real quick. So I wanted us to buy a house and an apartment in the case that things did go south. You didn't want to. And equally looking back, like, you were the one that would have had to deal with it because I was away and we didn't have any experience dealing with that. So like valid, could we have learned how to deal with it? Yes, but we didn't.
I wish, like, I don't like going back, but like right now, if we had bought a 2-apartment home back when we moved home in 2013,
14,
we would have that house now for 10 years. You know what I mean? Probably if we didn't sell it, you know what I mean? So like that, but we did. We bought the family home, you know, in a subdivision, family home. The house was like perfect. We would never really outgrown it. The only reason we sold it last year, the year before, was because we wanted a bigger yard. But like the house was like a forever home.
Yeah.
So could we have bought a stepping home before that home? Yes, we didn't. So lesson learned. But then what happens next.
So we move home in the fall / beginning of winter, and then in the spring the volatility hits and the work goes, which we kind of thought might happen and did happen. So like a big takeaway that I've learned is that you have to be prepared for when shit goes south, because it will go south. None of us are ever going to live life and nothing bad ever happen. It's going to happen, just matter when.
What do you think of the most successful business owner? You say always go like bankrupt.
Oh, they've all been bankrupt multiple times. The most wealthiest people in the world bankrupt multiple times.
Yeah. Okay, so I come home. I'm nursing. I already worked at Eastern Health. My old manager took me back. Like, it was a great transition for me. Mm. We did have a small kid, so I did casual because you were still doing turnaround. Mm. But then everything went south and you lost your job. Mm-hmm. So the big goose egg, the nice little stash of money that we had when we first moved home, you know, we used it for a down payment for our house, and we had to furnish a full house. We sold everything in Alberta, didn't bring anything with. So we used like a good chunk. Mm. I splurged on a couple things, but it's still like those couple things are still in like mint condition.
I was trying to buy a piece of land, and you bought a couch that was the same price as the piece of land that I was trying to buy.
How much is that land worth right now?
More than your couch is worth.
See, this is like real, like reality. Like,
I'm saying that we still got the couch.
We still have the couch. We haven't had to buy a new replacement couch. We still have it. So I don't know if the land in Lumsden actually appreciated like that much since then. Anyway.
Principal.
Still, this is like happy wife, happy life. I wanted the couch and you wanted the land and I got the couch.
I didn't get land.
Sad. Okay, so you're laid off. We have this little cushion of money. I'm doing casual, trying to pick up extra shifts. You're laid off for how long?
Year.
And you didn't get full EI?
No.
And
to this day, I think it's 32 weeks. I still remember the number. I don't know if it's right or not, but that's what's engraved in my head.
At that time, I don't remember. You can remember, like, were we saying, like, you can be the stay-at-home dad, let Michelle get as many shifts as possible, or were you trying to find jobs during?
I don't remember the exact timelines on it all, but, like, I remember in that year, it was. So you were doing that. You picked up a side hustle.
Stell and Dot.
So you're doing two jobs. I was sending resumes. I had 200 plus resumes gone out. I was doing courses online to try to make my resume more attractive.
And I think a lot of things you applied for, people thought you're overqualified or they couldn't afford, like what they were going to pay you wouldn't have been sufficient or something.
Maybe. Some of it was.
Yeah.
Some of it was also that there was oil and gas was gone sideways. So the amount of applicants was like through the roof.
Yeah. Okay. So we lived on my income. As a casual nurse,
I had a side hobble or two. I was doing a little bit of cash work, but
yeah.
Sorry, CRA people.
But we needed someone to wash the bin too. At that point, there was no $5 or $10 childcare, so we would have been paying someone $40 a day or whatever. Mm. So financially, it doesn't make sense. But that nest of money quickly evaporated.
It was like daycare.
You're like daycare. Yeah. It quickly evaporated.
Like looking back, like we never, I don't know if we ever did sit down and be like, okay, this is how much money we have, and this is how much we have going out. It's like, how long is this money going to last? I don't think we ever
did
that.
We didn't do it. No. We didn't.
Probably would have been a good exercise.
Yeah. I know we had a trip.
I also don't even think we caught anything.
I think we did cut some stuff, like our subscription stuff. But like, I know we were going to PEI for a concert and we were like, we didn't cancel it, but
we still went.
But like, we tried to like cheap out and do it, but still.
Didn't sell any of one of our vehicles. Like, we definitely could have added our expenses way better.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think we tapped into our line of credit eventually.
Most likely.
Like, we had, like, we don't even really know. Like, you know what I mean? This is like, we definitely tapped into our line of credit and had to use that.
Well, we ended up putting an apartment in the basement to try to get some income.
So, yeah, when things got really tough and we were like, what are we going to do? And before Josh made a decision to get into real estate, we did put an apartment, in-law apartment in our basement. Mm. And I think Amanda lived there. Your dad lived there. My aunt and uncle lived there.
A lot of people.
A lot of people lived there. Too. Yeah, and one of your buddies lived there.
One of my buddies lived there.
Your
brother lived there. I don't know if you said that.
Yeah, did you pay rent though? I don't know. But we did put people in our basement to help offset that mortgage payment. Mm. So that was a good decision.
$700 cash.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, I don't know, something like that.
Because it was space we weren't really using. So we did try, you know what I mean? We tried to figure out, I think right now in our life right now have made like bigger adjustments in our life than what we did back then.
We weren't willing to give anything up at that point.
Yeah.
I think it was a mindset of like, can't go backwards or can't give anything up.
What else? I talked about a basement. Okay, so let's talk about like more current. Is there anything more current that we can like talk about? Like, so you decided to get into real estate because like one of your buddies did it. And you're like, what else are we gonna do? You don't want to go away. I'm speaking on behalf of you, but is that correct?
Yeah. Well, there was no work, especially from the field that I was in, and it was like, how do I replace that? I have some control over my income and always not have to worry about getting laid off again. At least then, if something ever, if I ever fail. Employment wise, it's 100% on me, not the industry I work. So I took control over it. So that was it. And it was not, you didn't have to go, it was an independent contractor world. So you didn't have to go hoping that you were going to get a job, hand out resumes. It was like, okay, you get your license and you go to work. So in the moment, that seemed like the best thing to do.
Was I like, usually I'm just like, you come with an idea and I'm like, roll my eyes. I'm like, we're not doing this, but like, probably.
I don't even know.
I'm not so bad now as I used to be. But it paid off. So then you get into career. I'm still doing nursing, still doing Stella and Dot. Yeah. We still have the same house. We still have two vehicles. Like, literally, like, definitely living paycheck to paycheck.
For first year, well, yeah.
Running less because you were, like, a top agent right from the very start. But top agent just means you're doing more than average. And average is, like, what, 5 to 10 deals a year. So, like, financially, the first couple years in real estate, did it add to our, like, pay for our bills and stuff? Yes, but not, there was no excess money.
No. Zero. Well, even then, it was a matter of getting a grasp of, like, the world's totally different. It's like, you're responsible for your income tax, and you're responsible for HST, and you have expenses, and, like, you see the gross income, it's like, ooh, this big shiny number, and it's like, net number is drastically different. So, like, took a couple years to, like, get used to that.
And I'm still not used to it. Because I look, like even right now, like, you know, we get awards and we get these things and like I see our total GCI and like in my mind, I'm really trying to work harder now. But like, you know, like the purchases at Winners and the extra things that I have bought in the past, I just always been like, what do you mean I can't get it? Like we make this amount of money, but like when you sit down and look at it, we don't make that much money.
No.
Right? That's not what we bring home.
It's called gross.
Yeah. This is before taxes. And like, so you go into real estate. I start an online clothing store, random idea that I had, using our personal money from my basement.
You're not getting a business loan after, though.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
That's right.
Yeah, so if no real, like, business sense, per se, do you know what I mean? Just trying to, like, figure out sales, you know, relationship building, but, like, treating these two things as businesses. We didn't have any experience, and still, like, don't have any formal experience right now. It's just what we've learned and, like, incorporated.
Street credit again.
So like trying to figure out like, you know, how much to hold back for HST and income tax and stuff like that. And people are just like, you know, 30% is not enough.
It can be, but it equally cannot be as well.
Yeah. So like, you know what I mean? Like a couple years of like doing, like listening to those things and being like, what do you mean? Like as a salesperson, like we always have to pay in, you know what I mean? As a real estate agent, there's
unless
you're making installments, unless on a quarterly basis, you're like automatically throwing stuff in, which we don't, which maybe is something we could lesson learn. We should start doing. But like, you know, at the end of the day, if you haven't paid anything in, obviously you got to pay in. So you got to have enough money there. But like in the boutique world and all the bombshell people are listening, like they, like we made a big decision to open up a store and then I got a loan. Like we've never gotten loans before besides like our vehicles and our mortgages. And then I go and get a business loan. To do this big thing, and I don't know, like we personally had to pay that back off. I never ever got paid from the store because the money that was there, I just paid that loan off.
Well, we had a 5-year term on loan, and I think the store was only open for a year. Was it? What it was?
And not even a year. Like the actual store was only open like 7 months.
Yeah. So you didn't. There wasn't money coming in from the store for 5 years paid to go up against term.
No. So we had to pay that off ourselves. Yeah.
Hooray.
Right? So, like, you know, like, you think about, like all these things of, like, it's a good decision, but then you don't look at or think about the consequences. And we don't live in, like, fear or whatever, but it's just reality.
Yeah, it's all, that's how you learn, unfortunately. Like, it'd be nice to learn from some people, but, which we have, but definitely, that's a street credit now.
So, this year, after doing, like, our finances at the end of the year last year, and this is where all these finance conversations came about, because we just know that we, not initially waste money, we just spend money unnecessarily. And this is where we like stopped HelloFresh. We started using Walmart. You know, I don't have my nails anymore. Just being very purposeful or more conscious of what we're spending.
Well, like I'll jump in real quick. And I look at pointed, like, all the things that we've messed up and the things that we've done and the things that we've learned, like, when it comes to this stuff, like, we're still learning stuff now. So I'm like, how much can we give back and help other people?
Yeah, and it could be just listening to people.
100%.
It could be,
like,
just
I've learned valuable stuff in the last 12 months. Like, not even just, like, little tidbits, like, legit good takeaways.
Yeah.
I feel like we owe it to give back that.
Well, this taps into, like, why do you want to start having money? We're in real estate world. You're doing a seminar this Wednesday. It's about, like, it's titled. We had a house poor first. We're like, that's not a right topic. We're trying to prevent that. But, like, take control of your finances, gain control of your life is what we called it. Why do you want to do a seminar about, like, financial and adulting and, like, budgeting and, like, lifestyle stuff versus just doing a buy and sell seminar?
Yeah, it was just so much that's attached to it. So much collateral damage that comes from, like, financial lack of education. You got added stress. You got added stress on family life and your relationship. And then all of a sudden you got health issues that come with it. And you got debt. And then all of a sudden retirement comes and you got no money. Like, there's so much negative spinoff and collateral damage from not having good grasp on finances.
So why do you want to talk about it?
Why? As long as the way I look at it is, as long as I can help someone else, I don't feel my mistakes were in vain. And I wish that when I was back in everybody else's situation, like 30-year-old Josh, 25-year-old Josh, 20-year-old Josh, like, I wish, like we said here, and I'm not a wishful person, but, like, it would have been nice to have a good resource there to come from different angles and be more educational. And at least now, a very valuable person, someone who can come from experience, not just a theory of it. It's not like, hey, I read this book. This is what this book says. It's like, I've personally done A, B, C, D, F, G. This is what it looks like. So be more of a mentor.
Yeah. And, like, we don't have all the answers and we're still learning as we go. We bought 4 houses in the last 2 years and we're just like, why did we do that for? But
it seemed great in the moment. And I was like,
like, anyway, that's probably a topic for another day. But, like, I think that's important. I think, yeah, you could just go to a seminar on Wednesday that says, but, like, how to sell your house or get the most, you know, profits, you know, from selling your house or whatever the title might be, selling your house 1-on-1. But, like, that's not.
Yeah. A lot of people just don't have to grasp. Including us on times, like, you don't have a good grasp on the finances, and then, like, nothing else matters. Like, it doesn't matter about your experiences. If you got no money to do your experiences, don't matter. Or your housing or your retirement or, like, anything. A lot of this, there's, like, a fake facade there.
Well, what is it? Like, money makes, what is it? Money, happiness? What is it thing?
Money can't buy happiness, though?
Yeah, like, money can't buy happiness. It can't buy happiness, but it can take away a lot of the stress.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you have financial issues or financial stress, like, how happy or how content or how are you providing, like, amazing experiences in your life if you have that, like, just hovering over you?
Yeah, a lot of times it's not, I can't have that. It's needs to rephrase it. How can I have that? Because there's a way to do everything. You just got to be willing to do what it takes to do it, get it. So it's not about being frugal. Like, we're not going to sit here today and moving forward. Like, we're frugal. We, you know, live off recyclables. Like, that's not the goal here. It's like, yeah, just not being frugal. Just a matter of, like, doing appropriate things. That's what it boils down to.
Is there anything else about our journey of money mistakes or money milestones that you think we should share, or a closing comment or closing thoughts or anything you would like to share?
I think we've all made mistakes.
And we're going to probably make more.
And we're going to continue to make more. You know, don't let your mistake be in vain. As long as you learn from something, there's nothing wrong with making a mistake. But if you make mistakes, you don't learn anything from it, and you can continually make the same mistakes, that's when you have issues. And share your mishaps and your shag ups and whatever, because you might be able to help somebody else.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of people have started to open up to you and, like, you know, talking about their finances and stuff like that, but they might not feel comfortable opening up to, like, a family member, even their spouse or, like, their best friend, because they're in comparison or they don't want people to look at them differently or treat them differently. And just hopefully us having, like, an open conversation of, you know, our journey and, like, how things are still going, like, will help other people feel more comfortable, like, talking about money. Like, I still don't 100% feel comfortable talking about, like, money. You love talking about money, the good and the bad, but just you know, being around you, and like you had a coffee with one of my friends a couple of days ago and like listening to you, because she loves talking about money. Just, yeah, hopefully it just helps people.
If I can tell someone I done this and it was a poor mistake and it makes them not make that mistake, I consider it a help. And it's also our job, like as generations go down, it's our job for the next generation to be better than the previous one. So it's our job to be better. The things that we weren't good at, it's our job to be good at.
Yeah, so for us to try and like talk about money to like...
There's only around the corner that our kids are going to be at that point.
I did an interview at Home Again Furniture Bank this week, and one thing, and this is like complete opposite. This is like us coming from a financial standpoint that we can help others and give back to charity and give back to the greater good. And as I was driving back from the interview, I thought about one thing, because she asked, the question was, you know, why is it so important to you to do this stuff? And I kind of got a little emotional, but I said I just wanted like our kids to understand that like not everyone lives like us. And it could, what the one part I didn't say was like, it could be just one like bad decision that literally could take everything away. So for them, for our kids to understand that they can help other people, but for them, if they make a wrong decision or if we make a wrong decision, like literally everything can go. And that if you find yourself in like a situation as like a client from like Home Again where they're, you know, they need furniture, they need some kind of help, that like, that's okay. You know what I mean? We're helping these people because we can, but they understand now of like, who are the type of people who come in and donate things or give the beds or give the money donations or volunteer their time. Like they understand who those type of people are. And they're not just like the rich who, or the wealthy who just think they're better than everyone else. They, this is like completely off topic, but I just thought it was a good point to talk about, but they just really want to come from like contribution and help people because they can.
One of the most important traits you need to have is humility, because you can all be humbled real quick. It only takes one wrong turn in life or economy or your relationship or life, and you can be humbled real quick.
I think that's it. That clues up this episode of Beyond the Bombshell. I don't know how these like financial conversations are going to keep going, but we'll update you as we figure it out. That it? That good?
Yep.
Bye. That wraps up another inspiring episode of Beyond the Bombshell. I hope our time together has ignited a fire within you to embrace your authentic self and show up fearlessly. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to continue this empowering conversation, make sure you subscribe to Beyond the Bombshell on your favorite podcast platform and join our community of fierce women who are rewriting the rules and embracing their unique journeys. Connect with me on social media at Bombshell Babes Club, where we can continue to uplift and support each other, to share Beyond the Bombshell moments, and let's inspire others to embrace their true selves. Remember, you are more than what meets the eye. You are a force to be reckoned with. Keep shining, keep growing, and keep embracing the extraordinary woman that you are. Until next time, stay real and keep going beyond the bombshell.